The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. The list goes on and on. We appreciate you tuning us in. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
Here at Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas, overlooking the largest sports book on planet Earth. Look at that thing. Look at it. Soak it in. There it is. And there's there's Stadium Swim outside, which is not one big old pool. There's multiple pools.
Seats available today, guys.
Seats available. Yeah. Stadium Swim might not be the jam today. It's supposed to be 100 plus today.
I think. Are we?
Yeah. I think starting tomorrow, I think it gets ridiculous.
There is one guy out there, though. One guy out there that's really into his sheets right now.
He's in his sheets. He's old school sheets guy. I love that guy.
He's going to have some winners today.
Dallin Cuff will join us later this hour from Turner Sports. Talk World Cup with us. Looking forward to that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, by popular demand, the star of Wish Nev Wednesdays, the star of the Showtime docuseries Action, and the star of the Beating the Book Megapod from Pittsburgh, PA. Toddy Wishnev joins us now, courtesy of that progressive guest line. Toddy, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Gilly. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I was interested because, you know, you're usually immersed in your betting all day long, throwing out bets to your Discord channel. And it's rare nowadays, I think you'd probably agree, that something else in sports and sports betting sort of catches your attention and elicits emotion in you. And I was interested to see this yesterday. I had Kelly and I had Sia Najad on yesterday. Sia is an attorney by trade. He also has worked at the Monumental Sports Network. He's a sports bettor, loves to bet golf, loves to bet the NFL, but he's an attorney by trade. So he chimed in on the Brendan Sorsby matter. For those who missed it again, Brendan Sorsby, Texas Tech quarterback, who has admitted to betting on, you know, $90,000 worth of bets, including 40 different wagers on his own Indiana Hoosiers when he was the quarterback for Indiana. And Texas Tech submitted it to the NCAA. Of course, the NCAA ruled him ineligible. And then 2 days ago, just randomly, a local judge there in Texas granted an injunction allowing for Brendan Sorsby to play football after a two-game suspension this coming football season. And as I was mentioning, and I was sort of quoting Dan Wetzel, of ESPN.com, not only was the NCAA right in ruling him ineligible, it was their obligation to do so. He broke the golden rule, and yet the injunction came down, and you had much to say about this.
Well, see, you're 100% right, Gilly. I typically don't really have any interest in the drama of sports. Like, oh, this one signed for $60 million over 5 years and blah, blah. Like, I just don't care. Tell me who's on the teams and let's do the betting. I'm not interested in all the other outside dramas that are, you know, going. I mean, I'm a little bit aware of them, but I don't. Who has time to watch, you know, SportsCenter when I watched already 8 hours of you know, sports. So the other day yesterday I'm in the sports book and they have Wilbon and Tony on, and I don't really watch them often, but I, you know, I don't mind them. I've watched them before, and they're talking, they're saying how these conferences have a lot of nerve. They're in bed with the gambling companies. Ugh. And this is, you know, they are so hypocritical. And that, I'm like, seriously, folks, is this the level of ability to reason that is now broadcast on television? Sia the lawyer who performs his law duties without anyone being able to see his face? No. Is that the Sia Najad?
No, oh, I don't
forget.
So.
Okay, my bad.
No.
Anyways, so they're saying this and they're like, oh, the NCAA has a lot of nerve, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, guys, it's a great point. Fantastic point. You don't like the gambling on commercials every 4 seconds. I'm all for that. That's great. That's a great point. It has nothing to do with the Brendan Sorsby situation. Not even a tiny thing to do with Brendan Sorsby.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I understand you don't like that they've taken a big hug, all these sports, you know, to the gambling. Well, obviously they did. They want more money. They want more money, obviously. Okay. And that's bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for that. And you have a great point, Tony. You have a great point, Michael. However, the entire thing breaks down if the players are gambling on the games. Now, maybe America is so dumb at this point and so WWE-ified in everything it does that it wouldn't even care if you ruined the sports. Maybe that's where we're at. If that's where we're at, I'm done. Check out, check, please. I'm sure you're done too, because you're not going to watch made up sports on with the quarterback is betting on the third quarter under. The, are you?
The fact that they would miss that point is just so, it's just incredible. And by the way, I just,
but it's not just them. It's not just them. It's all over the place. Willie sent us a thing from Twitter and people, this is a thing that people think is an intelligent conversation. It's not.
Matt Hayes from USA Today. I alluded to this earlier, but I wanted to flesh it out because I was wondering if someone would do this, and he did. Apparently, so Sorsby at Cincinnati was 0-8 in the month of November the last 2 years. He had, and he just went through a couple games, and he says, let's see. So Sorsby also has 4 fumbles lost over the past 2 Novembers, pushing his total to 11 turnovers in those 8 games. There were 3-1 possession losses. 2 of those losses had similar betting line circumstances. Here's just a couple examples. Arizona was a 5.5-point favorite against Cincinnati in 2025. They lost 30-24. So in other words, they didn't cover. Sorsby had 2 picks, one on the first play of the game of the Cincinnati 25 and another in the second quarter on the Cincinnati 30. The 2 turnovers led to 10 Arizona points. And then another example, Cincinnati, a 5.5-point favorite against West Virginia in 2024, where the over was 54.5. The teams combined for 55 in a 31-24 West Virginia win. Sorsby threw a pick 6, threw a fumble backward pass, returned for a touchdown, and had another fumble that led to a West Virginia field goal. Now, Matt Hayes of USA Today, me, you, no one knows if this is actually a thing or not. But as I was pointing out earlier, because we don't know, this is the kind of the point, right? It kind of leads our brains to wonder, interesting.
How many other Brandon Sorsbys are there? Young men get themselves in trouble with the wrong people or just want to buy something for their girlfriend or who knows what the motivation is. And they say now that to themselves, well, I'm a really good player. Why don't I just bet on this game, get my homies to bet or whatever it might be, right? And now fix the game. Oh, what's the worst thing that can happen? Texas Tech judge will say that I have to sit out for 2 games. What? This is seriously a thing now? Yeah. I mean, this is so crazy. And by the way, don't you dare think that Brandon Sorsby is the only guy who did it.
Oh, right.
I'm sure there's tons and tons more. And you're just going to kill the entire sport of college football. That's fine. You want to kill the entire sport of college football? You do it on your dime. I don't want to kill the college football. I like it.
Yeah. And again, the fact that they missed the general point of that is just startling. It's, some people even say Texas Tech knew, oh, yeah, we'll submit it to the NCAA. They'll clearly rule them ineligible, but it'll just end up with a judge here in Texas. And you know how Texas feels about their football, right? So they kind of, that's the Kelly and I at the end of that segment yesterday actually had a pretty interesting exchange, which is Kelly was saying, you know, doesn't Texas Tech, I'll paraphrase.
They can't let them on the field. Yeah,
doesn't Texas Tech have any responsibility in this? And I sort of, you know, jokingly, right, the way that I was saying it to Kelly, I was like, well, they should, right? Like I was saying it that way. But the reality of the situation being, even though they should, doesn't mean they will, because there's so much.
The Texas Tech boosters are saying, right? People are scared of us, and that's why they don't want to play. Yeah. No, guys. They're not scared of you. This is a Stevie Fezzik argument right here.
Right.
Okay. They are not scared of you, Texas Tech. They are talking about college football being destroyed. What is so hard to understand? Mm-hmm. If the quarterback is betting on the game, it destroys the game. That's it. Enough said. Period. End of story. Texas Tech people should be against it. Everyone should be against it. Otherwise, what's the point here? Why don't we just WWE-ify the entire college football, let Ohio State play Alabama in the title every year, and we'll write up a script, and people will probably love that too because they can drink and get wasted at the game too. Maybe that's what you want. I don't want that. And I would say even in Texas, they probably don't want that if they actually sat down for 10 seconds and thought about it.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. Really will be. Anything on baseball before we go in our last couple minutes?
I mean, I'm just really upset. I mean, what if I just decided to... What if I started playing tennis against you and Fezzik and started throwing games? All my fans would be like, what the heck is going on here?
All your fans.
This is crazy. Now, Now, granted, even if I was throwing games, it'd be tough to lose to you guys. That would be a difficult thing.
There's also like the part of this, the way you haven't talked about, just continues. It's become so normal now for sports to be decided in courtrooms or Congress or something. And just, I don't, just the idea of like tax dollars need to be spent to figure out what's wrong with our sports situations.
But this is, as Dan Wolkin has brilliantly written about it at Sports Illustrated, this is such the obvious no gray area case, right?
Yeah.
You bet on your team while this can't possibly be any question to how this goes, and yet here we are.
I just don't know. Like, I keep thinking about our conversation yesterday. Like, it's still Brendan Sorsby, right? He might be good. He's not like Tim Tebow or some amazing college quarterback, though, where a championship's like locked up, right?
They think they're a contender.
Who cares who he is?
If I'm Texas Tech, I'm not letting this kid on the field. You can't let this kid on the field.
Of course,
like,
he can.
Like, the school can come up with a million reasons for him not to play. And it's going to ruin their future if they let him play these games.
Imagine that we would think that a academic institution, a academic place of higher learning, would actually do the right thing.
But it's in their best interest.
I would argue that as well. As I said yesterday, they should. But
this is not even the right thing, Gilly.
Yeah.
You're making it sound like there's an argument for the other side. This is not even the right thing.
I'm not
this
saying is there's nuclear. An argument. I'm not saying there's an argument for the other side. I'm saying, will they actually do what they're supposed to do? There's no argument.
Right. No, I understand. I'm just trying to say it's even crazy. This is nuclear. You cannot have, it's not like, Texas Tech, do the right thing and suspend a guy who beat up his girlfriend. No, forget that. This is not even a choice. This is the game itself. It's over.
Todd, always remember what Wilbon and Kornheiser said, though. They're in the books, or they're in the bed with the sports books. That's apparently their point. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real. Mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not forget about our early bird special, the VSiN Pro early bird special. Full VSiN Pro access until the Super Bowl for $175. That means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, 12 days from now, we'll release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. I like a fired up Todd Wishnow.
Mm-hmm. Very fired up.
Rules for society. What's infuriating on top of all, Todd, and you all have said it, is it just gives... Oh, this is so true. He says this, it just gives all the conspiracy theorists about how all sports is rigged more credibility, because it does.
Mm-hmm.
Our society is becoming all corruption all the time. Disgusting. And disgusted, he says. Yeah. It's like those of us who always like railed against the games are rigged crowd.
Dude, me and you did it for years, man.
Now we got to pause. Gordon Dye. I'm not sure if Gordon Dye is talking about me or about Wilbon. He says, Gil, to Todd's point, we probably could use term limits with some that talk sports. Gordon, I'll leave immediately. That's if you're referring to me. Oh, Wilbon. Oh, I'm sorry.
Could be either way.
Billy Charlebois. I would love to see Vegas and all books put out a no line on all Texas Tech games. It sounds small, but maybe it would help some. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer, but I understand your point.
This is where you got to play the game of what's in everybody's best interest.
Yeah.
Like the sportsbooks not in charge. They're not in charge of policing college football. It's not their job.
Rob at Jobber Fan says, Cat hasn't scored in the fourth quarter of this series. Is he really dominating? OG over him, in my opinion, he says. Or I assume he means for finals MVP if the Knicks end up winning.
He has not scored. Did not have a good game three.
No. there's all kinds of things to look at. You know what we haven't looked at here because we've been so entrenched in the NBA Finals, and we'll get back to talking about it. But next year, to win the NBA Finals, are you at all surprised that the Spurs are the short shot now?
Not at all. But before we go to those odds, Gil, I got a special surprise. Look ahead to your weekend. Gil Alexander, there he is, live look. What is it, the Highlands?
That's the Highlands.
The Highlands, North Carolina, taking in the beautiful, beautiful waterfalls.
So what did I do here? I went parka and skinny jeans? Is that what I did?
I think those look like some khakis. Those look like some work khakis. Pants, some comfortable hiking pants.
How my legs?
You got your binoculars for
legs get so thick. Whose legs are those?
Well, you've been hiking so oh, you've been hiking for like 30 straight hours.
And I got the cross country ski poles there.
Well, you know, we need to get you a little extra support. You know, it's a lot. It's very mountainous. Some treacherous terrain up there, going birding. Obviously,
I seem pretty happy for a guy that has a wedding to get to.
Maybe skip the wedding. You went hiking.
The wedding. Went hiking. That's outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you to Darnell and Michelle, who both worked on that wonderful piece of art. Unfortunately, I think Michelle did it the real way, and I think this is the AI version.
Thank you, Michelle and Darnell. Michelle, DJ Mochi? Mm-hmm. That right? Yeah, DJ Mochi?
Machi.
DJ Machi. Pardon me, Michelle. Pardon me. Thank you for doing that.
We also had you in Everest gear, but I said, now dial it back, Darnell. It's too much.
Let's not get crazy.
I wanted to make it outlandish.
Gil this was, on this, Everest?
Yeah, this was, this was absurd enough. Yeah, this was good enough. Actually, it's perfect. That's,
dude, where do you think hiking ranks on my list of things to do? 175th?
Something like that. That is a real picture, though, of the Highlands and one of the waterfalls.
Oh,
that's where
really?
You're going.
Oh,
yeah,
that looks gorgeous.
Right? How amazing is that?
I'd love to see that. Don't have time, though.
Sorry.
Next year, NBA. Sorry. No, that's
Kelly interruption.
I appreciate it. That's okay.
That was great.
Pardon the interruption. See, it keeps with, with the Kornheiser Wilbon theme. Next, are you surprised that the Spurs are plus 220 and the Thunder are plus 275?
Both feel short, but I am not surprised that the Spurs top this board.
Okay. That's what I was getting at. This is the difference between the two.
Victor Wembanyama, I mean, this is... I mean, it was one series, right? But sure, for as far as odds for next season, pass the torch, right?
Hey, some of us saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics are 6-1. Knicks are plus 650. Everybody else in the entire association, 25-1 or longer. Do you agree with that? That everybody besides the Spurs, Thunder, Celtics, and Knicks should be 25-1 or longer?
Ooh, good question.
That's a big gap. When did that happen?
For now? I'm okay with this.
Can I ask you?
I don't know that I see any team that looks like they are drastically underpriced.
Pacers aren't underpriced?
Probably be the best bet out there right now.
You're done with the new Jay with the Denver Nuggets?
Yeah, man. I'm glad you asked it like that, because I think for right now, yeah.
Hmm. Who's betting the Lakers down 25-1? Chris Foster?
The Nuggets have their own roster and salary problems. And if they're not going to go out there and spend like some of these other teams are, it's just, I think there's a gap between them and the Thunder and the Spurs right now, where the Thunder and Spurs are at. And with how young both those teams are and continuing to develop and what their rosters are going to look like for the next several years. Like, I think the gap is realistic between where they're at. And then if you want to talk the Nuggets, if you want to talk the Wolves, now Lakers, you bring up the Lakers. There's a lot of things that could happen with the Lakers this offseason. I don't know that we're going to see that many drastic moves, but you continue to reshape this roster around Luka Doncic. They become more realistic with every trade window that occurs. So the couple times a season that you have opportunities to make transactions, I think the Lakers should get incrementally better. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we're talking about them being the third best team in the West next season.
Pacers 25.
Good spot on the Pacers.
Pacers 25-1 seems to be the
good
one
spot
that's underpriced.
On
yeah.
I always like Zoo. You got him in. You're going to have Haliburton back. See what they do with the rest of this roster right now. I know it is very tough to think about what the Pacers were a season ago and watch them this year and think that they're going to be able to bounce back to be a NBA Finals-like team. But, you know, Gil, you and I have said it all throughout the playoffs, right? And I don't feel like I was wrong. The Knicks have been great, but it's a weak East, man. It's a weak East. You got the Pacers that will be back. Yes, you'll have a healthy Jason Tatum. Pistons, maybe they take a step forward, but I think they're probably priced as what, the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah.
No, fifth. I think that's probably fair. They're more likely to me around that range than winning the East. So yeah, I think you're talking about a Celtics, Knicks, Pacers, and yeah, Cavaliers for the regular season, but championship odds.
If we look at the NBA title odds for next year, we must also look at the NBA MVP odds for next year.
There is the one team I will point out that is not pictured. That, you know, I know I and others on this network did not shut up about, but the one team from January 1st to the end of the regular season, you know, had the best net rating in the NBA. It was the San Antonio Spurs. You know, the second best, the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, okay.
Not pictured at all.
I was worried you were going to go another direction, at which point you would have been
like the Utah Jazz.
No, I thought you were going to say the Clippers or something. Then we're going to put you in the penalty box. Odds to win the NBA regular season MVP. And this just makes me angry. Because all those Wembanyama tickets we had, right?
Oh, yeah, this is...
Well, enjoy. It's never happening again. Plus 225, Victor Wembanyama is your short shot to win MVP next year. Usual suspects after that. Nikola Jokic, 3-1. Shea, 4-1. I think Shea's going to be... It's going to be the opposite with Shea next year. Oh, we've already given it to him. He probably didn't deserve it last year. Forget it. He's not getting it. Luka's 6-1. Giannis, currently listed with the Bucks logo, at 8-1. And then Ant closes out that first column at 10-1. Everybody else 15-1 or longer. Actually, it's Cade at 15-1, and then everybody else is 35-1 or longer. You agree with all that? Look at Cooper Flagg at 50-1.
Yeah, that's cute.
Tyrese is 75-1. I mean, all that checks out, right? That's exactly how it should be priced, pretty much.
Yeah, I think very unfortunately, as you were kind of leading into this, this is probably becomes a very boring market to talk about and bet going forward.
Yes.
Because
yes,
we've already said it, Gil, but now you're talking about these are the odds. It's probably going to start with almost every year with Victor Wembanyama, and leading into every NBA season, we're going to say one line about it. Well, if Wemby can stay healthy and qualify for the games, then this probably isn't a bad price.
And he will, of course, be the short shot for Defensive Player of the Year as well, which will
probably like minus 130 is where you should open there. I don't even think they're up anywhere, but I would assume he's opening odds on favorite.
Well, and then the question becomes, how many players have won both in the same year? I was wondering to myself.
One?
Three. Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 87-88, won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. Hakeem Olajuwon in 93-94, won it with the Rockets.
Oh, and Duncan?
No, Giannis.
Giannis!
2019-2020, he won it for the Bucks. Both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. So it has been done, and Wemby will seek to be the fourth. I would imagine Wemby will be that multiple times in his career. Both of those awards in the same year.
I would think so, too. I did hear, I think this was Established, the Run Pod that was talking about this. I love these little fun little... if I had to put a prop, MVPs, over-under that Victor Wembanyama wins in his career, at what point are you betting the under? 2.5? 3.5? Because I know you'd be looking over always.
Over is still at 3.5.
4.5?
Okay, now we're getting to a point. Yeah. Gordon Dye has said it was meant for the PTI duo, Gil. Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate it. I thought it was, but I didn't want to see it. Coming back, the World Cup with Dallin Cuff next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Sharpplays.com. Check them out. You can scan the QR code on your screen for more. Just want to read a couple tweets about basketball here. Xavier82 at damn Xavier82. I've heard a number of guests lean towards the Knicks tonight in Game 4, but as Gil mentioned several times, Spurs have taken a double-digit lead in every game so far, so I'll be waiting for that to occur, then take the home team plus 4.5 or better instead of the pre-flop line. Good luck. There's a strategy.
I'm going to go through some quarters stuff next segment.
Okay. And then Artist at One Lock Only was talking about who's won Defensive Player of the Year and MVP the same season. He says, LeBron should have done it. It was Jordan, Hakeem, and Giannis. That's the list as we look towards Wemby in future years. He says LeBron should have done it in 2012, 2013, but voters decided to rob him of Defensive Player of the Year and give it to Marc Gasol, who didn't even make the first team, all defensive team. Yeah.
I do remember
good
that.
Call, Artist. Ladies and gentlemen, if they don't start this World Cup anytime soon, this man is liable to have 100 different bets. so they better start this quick. It's Dallin Cuff from Turner Sports who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Dallin Cuff, D-A-L-E-N-C-U-F-F. True, Dallin, they better start this thing?
Fellas, they need to kick this thing off. I sent them all to your producer thinking, I'm not sure they're going to pop them all up here, but here we are. You guys take what you want to talk about. We can dive into some of them. There are, as you can tell, the top is very U.S. focused, and then we broaden out. I think not all of them. There's a lot of them on there. There are a few more. You're right. We got to kick it off. Well, we got to start playing.
Well, let's start with the USA, because obviously we're about to enter, you know, this strange period here. All Americans sort of know this from previous World Cups. They're like, okay, we're not all soccer fans, but if this goes well, we all suddenly become really big soccer fans and experts. USA to advance to the round of 16 at plus 110. We had a previous, we have a regular soccer guest, Paul Carr, who comes on here from True Media Networks. And he said, to put it in golf terms, he's like, round of 16 is par for the U.S. You agree with that?
Absolutely. It's kind of table stakes. I will say, describing American soccer fans, you sounded like Knicks fans there for a minute, too.
Oh, yeah.
It just sounded a little bit like what I've heard here in the Tri-State area recently. But I digress. Yes, getting the round of 16 is par for the course here for the U.S. But this is a new World Cup with a round of 32 before that. So we'll have to win a knockout game, which we've already done once in our history, which was back in 2002, beating Mexico. We got a friendly foe, and we beat them and moved on to lose to Germany in the quarterfinals, the deepest we've ever gone. The reason I like this bet, though, I don't like them to win the group. I think Turkey's the best team in their group. I think outside of that, they get through. They'll be in the second place. But even if they do win the group, either one of their first-round opponents – I feel pretty good about, particularly if they do win the group, it'll be a third place opponent. So just getting back to par, as you mentioned, I think is a good play. That's why it is basically plus money.
All right. Let's go USA. Let's get it done. Let's get to par. The other one that sort of leaps off the screen for us, I bet Kelly is looking at this too. So Morocco to win Group C at plus 350. That's obviously the group with Brazil. This has, at least anecdotally on this show, Dallin, this is a very popular bet. Are we a little too? Are we risking too cool for school on this with Morocco? Or you feel good about it?
No, it's one of those things where you see it 2 months ago, and I'm like, yes, love this. Ooh. And now we're 24 hours out, and I'm like, oh, I kind of hate this. Everybody's on it, and at one point it was plus 600. And I'm saying this now. You'll look at the where's my ball here? You got me on Brazil here. I love that's my team number two. I speak the language. I love Brazil. I love the culture, I love the people, spent a lot of time down there. I always want them to win the World Cup. This team just isn't very good. Like, their midfield is 180 years old. I mean, Casemiro and Fabinho are both in their mid-30s. I can't believe that's still what they're looking at. You've got a Neymar situation where the country's going to revolt if he doesn't play much, and I don't think he should play much. You've got some injury questions. I mean, they are not what we expect them to be. And Morocco is a team, obviously, they made the run to the semifinals last World Cup. They are the best team in Africa. I don't care what happened in the AFCON, the Cup of Nations. I'm not even going to give your viewers that debacle that took place. But they're the best team in Africa. And I think they also have now more offensive weapons than we saw in that semifinals group that went to the semifinals. They're tough. They're physical. But they now have more offensive capabilities. I like them to win the group. I think that if they get into that spot, if they do win the group, they could probably play Japan, I think, in that first round. Then a Norway situation, potentially. Norway or Germany. I think either one of those teams, and Norway's live too, by the way, to beat Germany and get to that stage. I like Morocco's team, but when everybody likes it, as you just said, it's never going to happen, guys. But you know, we're still going down with the ship.
Hey, Dallin, I'll follow up on this one because I was wondering, I haven't made any Morocco bets yet, Gil, but it's definitely on my list. One of the ones I was looking at is maybe playing them in like the dual forecast where you can get like Brazil, it's Brazil and Morocco to finish 1-2 in any order. Do you like that? You're laying a price then. You're like minus 160 to lay that.
I was about to say, what's your number there? Yeah, I think for sure those two, they are the class of that group by a large margin. There aren't many groups where the third team is really that compelling. So, I mean, this is a situation where if you're getting them even at minus 160, you want to lay some lumber on that. I think you should feel great about that materializing. I also do think, just big pictures, guys, with this World Cup now going to 48 teams, and having all these third place wild cards, it is much harder, I feel like, to predict who's going to be in the semifinals, who's going to be the quarters. The long-term futures are much harder now. There's just so many permutations and different things that make this thing challenging. In five knockout round games, you're going to see some wild stuff. You're going to see maybe two penalty shootouts, to maybe three to get to a final. Like, it's going to be challenging, but in some of these groups, I think, is where the most value is because they are the known commodities. You know who's they're playing, you know where they're playing, and a lot of these venues are going to be hot. Sometimes in the middle of the day, weather will factor. So look at all that stuff.
Again, just cherry picking some of these that you have. This is interesting to me. I'll actually ask both of these in tandem. Argentina out in the quarters specifically. So that's a elimination round out in the quarters at plus 425. Well, let's just take that by itself. What is your thinking there?
I mean, I can't believe Messi's back doing this again. And it's a lot of the same group. I think it's like 17 guys that were on that team that won it in 22 are back yet again. And I think their draw is not ideal. If they win their group, I think Uruguay comes in second in Uruguay's group. That sets up a South American competitors are not exactly scared of Argentina. I mean, these guys don't walk in with the same fear, I think, that other teams have. They play them in the toughest qualifying round, if you will, down in South America. So if you have that. Now, if the U.S. does finish in second, that would be the U.S. game if the U.S. can get to par, like we said. So we would have an Argentina-U.S. round of 16 matchup. But even if that's Turkey, like I said before, I think Turkey is the better team. So I think Argentina then has a tough draw. And then you get Portugal. And Portugal's draw, actually, I believe, is easy. They got a good pocket down there in the bottom right corner if you're looking at the full bracket. They would play a third-place team, and then the other team is the Swiss or a third-place team. So I really like Portugal getting to that quarterfinal round. And if you got a more fresh Portuguese team against an Argentinian team, I'll take the world was going to melt down with Ronaldo and Messi both, you know, in those lineups if Ronaldo does play, or get in the game, I should say. But Portugal's legit to go the whole way. So I like their path, and I think they can go through Argentina. That's why that's the rationale for them out in the quarters.
Yeah, I feel like I've been watching Ronaldo play international soccer for Portugal for my entire life, it feels like. I want to get to the golden boot and the golden ball here in a second. Last thing, though, you said it's difficult for the futures. You took a shot at double chance champ Spain or Portugal, plus 275.
Yeah. And again, that's both about their path more than anything else. If you look at Spain in that bottom left quadrant again, they have the similar situation where their bottom part of that is going to be a couple third place teams. Now, they do have maybe an Austrian team that's tough, Colombia, Croatia. It's not going to be easy, but I like their path overall. I think Lamine Yamal, their group is pretty easy. Lamine Yamal may not play in that first or second game. Hopefully, he comes back into health and to form as the tournament grows. They obviously are the reigning European champs. They're stout at all lines of the field. Elite goalkeeping as well, elite management. I like their setup and their overall grouping they have to get themselves to a final. And I already went through the Portugal piece of this thing. So yeah. If you're going to have both of those and roll the dice with them, I'll take that.
All right. Golden boot, top goal scorer. Golden ball is just what? Best overall player, right?
Best player.
In the World Cup. Okay. Golden boot, speaking of Spain and Portugal, Mikel Oyarzabal at 14-1 for golden boot. We've heard a lot of his name for this.
Oh, Jesus. This is not good news. This is not what I need. This is part of what I do, too. I'll go through all my stuff. I don't listen to a lot of the stuff because I don't want to get polluted. But now here we go. And by the way, I know you're a big tennis guy. Pronunciation nailed it. Phenomenal.
Thank you.
The English guys I've worked with in the past, it's Oyarzabal all the time. Just they don't give a crap. They just go plow.
Oyarzabal.
Well, again, Dallin, we've had a couple cracks at it, okay? So don't give us too much credit.
That's true.
Well, don't tell me that. Don't out yourself. You sound great. I think this is more a play of Lamine Yamal possibly being injured. And I do think that with Spain, there's so many guys that can score. I think he will be the recipient. I think he will also be their penalty taker at times. So especially if Yamal is hurt, Yamal wouldn't always take penalties anyway. So I think there's he's live there to say the least. And I think all these bets, of course, are going to be not off course. You could hedge at different times, but this is my rationale that I think Spain and Portugal, if I'm going to have them in the final, I got to have guys that are going to be playing as many games as possible. So Oyarzabal is there. And then you mentioned golden ball. I like Vitinha. It's a good price at 10-1. One of the best midfielders in the world. Doesn't get talked about a lot, but he controls games. He can pop up and get you a goal. He hooks up guys with assists. And again, that Portuguese theme here. And I think this is the Ronaldo full passing of the torch. He may come on late to try to score goals, but this is not his team. Whereas Argentina, like we just said, Argentina is still Messi's team. I think it is a distinct difference between these two greats of the game and how they would be used at this World Cup.
Good news, Dallin. You're the only person who has Vitinha. That we can tell you.
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Not heard that name. All right. Dallin, appreciate it very much. Thanks for the time. And it will begin tomorrow, we are told. The World Cup. Enjoy.
Thank God, boys. Let's roll this ball out there for the next 5 weeks.
Let's go. Thank you, Dallin. Appreciate it very much. Dallin Cuff, everybody, from Turner Sports at Dallin Cuff, DallenCuff. Love when he gets into soccer.
Oh, I love it too. Yeah. I'm ready to fire this thing up. Let's go.
Let's go. Recapping the bets next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, Kelly, game 4 tonight of the NBA Finals. No NBA Finals has ever begun with the road team winning four in a row.
That's pretty
crazy.
Never
happened.
And we are...
Spurs trying to make it happen tonight.
Four straight for the Spurs and five straight for the Knicks as far as just wins on the road.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mm. Knicks 13-game winning streak snapped in game three. I'm going to keep this brief on my end because...
Real quick, the 13-game winning streak, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you know when the last loss occurred for the New York Knicks?
Game three against the Hawks.
Right. Okay. Teams that have lost playoff games since then. The Phoenix Suns and the Boston Celtics.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't that feel like ages ago?
What was the date on that?
The Oklahoma City Thunder completed their sweep of the Phoenix Suns on April 27th. And the Knicks lost to the Sixers on May 2nd.
That was the Knicks lost to the Sixers on May 2nd. That was the last loss.
No. The Celtics lost to the Sixers.
Gotcha.
The last loss to Atlanta by New York came on April 23rd.
Which is about the same date that I took the lead in the killer sports contest and never gave it up.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, wedge that in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep this brief because I have a million bets of Dallas Cuffs. We got to get to for the radio audience that didn't see them visually. Spurs to win the NBA Finals 19-1. Again, if I can have the Hoosiers at 10-1 to win the college football title and then this, it will have been a fine couple sports back to back. Cubbies to win June. Yeah, it's not looking good. 12-1. Ole Miss to win the College World Series. Jensen Lewis will join us tomorrow to talk College World Series. 20-1 on Ole Miss. He's got a 60-1 ticket on Hottie Toddy. So we'll talk to Jensen about that tomorrow. You.
I have nothing tonight yet. I think I'm going to end up on the Spurs first quarter, though. We have seen this. I've referenced the first half stats a couple times with the Spurs going back these past couple series because they were the best first half team in all of the NBA betting-wise. But the Knicks, I've heard this from a couple of people, and shout out even to Super Jerk who tweeted this, DM'd me about this. The Knicks' second quarter is quite a thing, especially in this series. And this is where, who was it, Will brought up Fezzik flipping out about losing that first half.
Never again.
I mean, it's the Knicks' domination in the second quarter, but these first quarters, Spurs have won and covered each in the game three so far. Knicks have taken quarter two in two of the three. They didn't take it in game one. And then through the playoffs so far, I was just looking through these earlier in the show. Through the playoffs so far, betting, so against the spread, Spurs 12-4 in the first quarter, Knicks 8-4 in the second quarter. So if you want to get creative with it, just wanted to bring it up. I think I'm going to end up on, I think I'm going to play a little Spurs first quarter, though. We keep seeing them, and specifically Wemby, get off to these fast starts, and then who the hell knows from there. I think I'm going to play that, and I'm just sweating out Spurs series bets here. 125 to win the finals, 490 with them, with Knicks taking game one, and then to win in six, plus 550 to win in seven. Plus 370 NBA draft bet reminders. Darren Peterson, first overall pick. Plus 350 Cameron Boozer, third overall pick at minus 125. And then the World Cup bets I have made so far. I will have more tomorrow, Gil, and I'm scared to know how many. France to win the World Cup 5-1. France to reach the quarters, minus 125. Portugal to reach the quarters, plus 125. And Colombia to win Group K at plus 260.
Colombia to win Group K. Nick Whalen was on earlier. He'll be on Prop Points top of the hour here. He has Victor Wembanyama tonight over 1.5 steals. Devin Vassell over 2.5 threes made. And Landry Shamet over 1.5 threes made for the Knicks. Nick was the first of our guests today. Then Will Hill joined us. He's on the Knicks tonight versus the Spurs, but he took the Knicks on the money line. And then baseball, Phillies, first five team total over 2.5 runs at the Blue Jays. Mariners, full game, money line at the Birds, at the Orioles today. He's on the M's. Dodgers, Pirates, under 4.5 runs, first five, and then Yankees, Guardians, under 2.5 runs, first three innings. And then, randomly, NFL Coach of the Year, Sean McVay of the Rams at 40-1. Randomly, just because I didn't expect a football play from him, but there you go. Sean McVay of the Rams, NFL Coach of the Year. Now, here are Dallin Cuff's World Cup bets in their entirety. Paraguay, draw. No bet versus USA plus 180.
So that's opening night for
opening
USA.
Opening night matchup between those two. Turkey to win Group D plus 175. Flo Balogun, is that how you pronounce that?
Sure.
Top U.S. goal scorer at plus 320. I'm sure I'll know the pronunciation after game one.
Yeah, you will.
USA to advance to round of 16, plus 110. That's the one we talked about. Mexico to win Group A, minus 140. And there's Morocco to win Group C. Everybody loves Morocco in this bet, plus 350. In Group C, Ecuador to win Group E at plus 350 as well. Belgium to win Group G at minus 240. They're the overwhelming favorite. He's on it. Turkey to the quarters, 3-1. Norway to the quarters at plus 225. Argentina out in the quarters at plus 425. We discussed that briefly. France out in the quarters. How about that one? Plus 350. Ecuador to make the semis at 14-1. Wow. Double chance champ, Spain or Portugal at plus 275. And then the golden boot awarded to top goal scorer Mikel Oyarzabal, 14-1. And then the golden ball awarded to the best overall player, Vitinha of Portugal, 20-1. There you go. All from Dallin Cuff in the World Cup, which begins tomorrow. Not sure if you're aware of that, people. But there you go. World Cup is finally upon us. And thank God for the World Cup, too, because as the NBA Finals inevitably gets to the business end here, as it does for the Stanley Cup Final, just what the doctor ordered,
mm-hmm.
World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Kelly Bidlin viewing per day of this will be?
Oh, good question. I would think. Well, the other good thing about soccer is it's great for background too.
Yes,
you know, I get some work. Like that's where I don't know if I'm counting that as viewing hours or not, but it will be on a TV in my place for most of the day.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Every day
for sure. Grass court tennis, U.S. Open golf next week. There's stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff. It's always it always messes with my head as we wind down with NBA because you get to take a breath. There is the nice side of it, but then you hit the summertime and it gets dark real quick. You know?
I thought last year where like seemingly every series went to seven. I thought that was way more exhausting last year.
Mm.
Interminable. Love every bit of it this year. Spurs Knicks tonight. Remember, it's NBA Finals game 4 tonight. The Knicks favored by 2 here again in game 4 as they were in game 3. Stanley Cup final game 5 tomorrow. Once again, they are not taking an extra day for cross-country travel in the Stanley Cup final between Vegas and Carolina. So the NBA now from this point forward on the Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, if necessary, schedule for game 6.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the NHL now will be on the Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday schedule for games 5 and 6, and if necessary, 7. So there you go. Tonight, I don't know what I'm going to have. I have 2 more plays. I've already won it, but I have 2 more plays trying to set the record for the best record as far out as I can in the Killer Sports Challenge, the 2-year history of it. Last year was 24-14. I'm 25-11. So I have to make 2 more plays. I don't know if I kind of sort of have to make one here tonight because in the event the Knicks win, then there's only, right, a possibility of 1 more game.
Mm-hmm. I am listening to you. I'm distracted by Pat McAfee, though, with a hockey stick, and I'm kind of jealous of it right now.
You like that he gets coming to work and just...
He's demonstrating goalie things that I would be able to do if I had a hockey stick.
TJ Oshie's looking at him like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, to me, I was on the Spurs in game 3. Everybody seems to be on the Knicks. And again, Carl Sack is on the Knicks here in game 4 as well. I may just go Spurs again.
Don't blame you. Think I'll be on Spurs first quarter. I mean, look, situationally, I understand why people are looking at Knicks, but this is a number I haven't been able to get to fully. Like, I know we heard a lot going into game 3.
But explain what you just said, situationally. To the person who's just tuning in, like, what does that even mean?
Sure. Zigzag adjustments after that game that you come back home, you lose to San Antonio, which adjustments are going to be made? It's the... always the team that loses, right? I think it make it real simple, right? Team wins. Why do I change anything? What we did last game works. Team loses. We have things to adjust to. We have to adjust to this, right?
As we discussed earlier on the show.
This is why a zigzag theory makes sense, intuitive sense, right? That the team that lost has to adjust. The Knicks have also played extremely well at home this whole season. That was a bit of a... I don't even know what the correct word is for game 3 of everything that we saw. Yeah. And Knicks fever, the president in attendance, it was chaos.
And the 2 adjustments I pointed out earlier on the show, hey, look, if Victor Wembanyama is not on Cat as he wasn't in game 3, which was the Spurs adjustment, Cat should take Fox or whoever's on him in the post and shoot more. And then Jalen Brunson, if the entire team is collapsing on you defensively, maybe consider passing the ball.
I would be stunned. I don't want to say stunned because just the Knicks that we saw in game three was a very familiar looking New York Knicks team from the past couple years. I think they are going to make a big deal of emphasizing Karl Anthony Towns' involvement in this offense here early on. There will be shot Gil Saturday afternoon.
Shot of me hiking in the Highlands
this
weekend.
Getting a good sweat before the wedding.
Wedding? What wedding? I'm hiking.
I'm too busy.
This place is phenomenal. We've done all we can do. Prop Points with Jeff Erickson. Nick Whalen is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.